Hi, this is Pastor Leon Pretorius from Grace Fellowship Sasselburg. Welcome to the third episode of our study on suffering. In this episode, we are still busy fleshing out the bigger question of why there is suffering in the world. In the last episode, we saw that it all began because Adam chose to decide for himself what is good and what is evil. He didn't trust God to choose for him. And as a consequence, the creation and Adam and humanity was all dumped into what we have today, a world that is twisted and suffering has become the norm. Now today, we look at the consequences of Adam's fatal decision. Well, I should rather say we begin to look at them. We will only look at the first one. But these consequences are a vital part of the puzzle because they weren't contained with Adam. You can think of this COVID-19 virus. It started somewhere, but it's spreading out and it's touching just about every life, right? In the same way, Adam's transgression had consequences that is passed on to every successive generation following Adam. And you and I live them every day. And they are part of why there is suffering in our lives. Now, God, as you know, created us as relational creatures. We can't function properly if we don't relate. So it's helpful to think of our relations in four categories. And these will become important because, as I'll show you in a moment, Adam's transgression has fatally affected every one of these areas of our relationships. So the first relationship area that or category that we have is your relationship to yourself. And then there's one to God and to other people and to creation. So the four categories is your relationship to yourself, to God, to others, and to creation. Now let me show you how Adam's transgression caused suffering in the first category of your relationship to yourself. Adam's transgression had two primary consequences in this specific category. The first is psychological consequences, right? Something happened in you and in me and happens daily. And then secondly, there was a spiritual consequence that was so dramatic that it physically changed who we are. And so I'm taking you to Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to read to you from verse 7 down to verse 10. And this is to look at the first consequence, which I said was psychological. First of all, his transgression or his sin created a conflict in himself. Now listen as I read to you from verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked. Now, for those of you who don't know the context of this passage, verse 7 follows right after. This is the first thing that happens right after Adam and Eve sin against God. And they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of which God said, you must not eat from it. Because in the day that you do, you will surely die. And so they eat from this fruit, from the tree. And verse 7 says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Here is the first beginning of that conflict in himself. He becomes aware of guilt. Adam has now transgressed God's command, and that guilt is beginning to weigh on his conscience. And so when we feel guilt, we feel exposed, right? There's shame. And I think in one sense, we can look at this nudity of Adam and Eve as representing that. When we sin against God and guilt begins to set in, we feel exposed. We feel naked because everybody instinctively knows that when there is a transgression of God's law, there must be punishment for it. We all, God created us with this instinctive knowledge. And so Adam feels the guilt and shame sets in. And then what do we do when there's shame? We try to cover ourselves. And that's exactly what we see Adam and Eve do. They sew fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. You see, they want to hide their shame from one another. And they try to cover themselves with these fig leaves so that, you know, they don't have to feel that shame so acutely. And somehow they're trying to mitigate the feeling of guilt. And then also, not just with one another, Adam and Eve, but they also, when God comes into the picture, they want to hide from him. In verse 8, we read, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. You see, they also want to hide from God. And then verse 9 says, the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And listen to this. He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. So because Adam transgressed God's loving command, his conscience produced guilt, which is a good thing, and then shame, and then fear. Now I say guilt is a good thing because that means your conscience is working, right? If you transgress God's law and you don't feel any guilt, you are in serious trouble. All right, but in this case, here we have Adam. We're looking at the psychological consequences, right, of his transgression. And the psychological consequence of it was that he felt guilt, and that guilt produced shame, and then a fear took hold of him. And these three things are the most potent effects a violated conscience can yield. They weigh on us like a ton of bricks. And they're the products of a conflicting self. You see, Adam didn't have peace within himself anymore. In Psalm 32, verse 3 and 4, David describes the same experience when he says, when I kept silent about my sin, then I had this conflict in myself. I had serious a struggle. He says, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Shame and guilt and fear. These things have physical effects on your body. David says that his body wasted away and his vitality was drained. He says night and day God's hand was heavy on him. And these words describe what people feel like when they're depressed, right? They don't have an appetite. They feel emotionally and physically drained and they feel weak. As long as David kept silent about his sin, and that is, as long as he tried to hide it, to deny it, to ignore it, he felt this depressing cloud over his life, and it drained him physically. So we see this conflict raging in Adam, and there's emotional and physical suffering. We also see that Adam tried to avoid God and other people. It was another aspect that came about because of the shame he felt and the fear. Right? Shame and guilt and fear drove him from authentic relationships. Before he transgressed, he had freedom to have a relationship with God and with Eve. And there was nothing between them. And all of a sudden, he's being driven from those relationships. And we see Adam and Eve sewing fig leaves together to hide from one another and from God. Now, of course, we don't sew fig leaves to hide our nudity, but we have a lot of other devices we use to hide. We proudly deny our sin. We blatantly lie about them. We shift the blame to something or someone else. And Adam's response shows that he was in conflict with others around him because he was in conflict within himself. He didn't want anyone to see him for who he truly was. The Apostle John calls this walking in the darkness. And he compares that kind of life with walking in the light. Walking in the darkness means you will not come into the light by confessing your sin. Rather, you hide it and deny it and ignore it, and so you suffer the consequences of a conflicting self. A second consequence of Adam's transgression was spiritual. For this, I need to take you to Romans chapter 5, verse 19, which reads, "For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous." Now, this verse is part of a summary Paul makes of his argument in chapter 5, verse 12 to 17. One of his contentions in these verses is that the consequences of Adam's one transgression were both universal, that's very important, and fatal. It was universal because the whole human race was affected by it. And it was fatal because God's condemning judgment bound human nature to death. Now, that's a very important point, and I'm not going to make a big point of it right now. We will look at this specifically a little later. I just want to mention it right now that because Adam transgressed, death came into the world. In other words, we die because of sin. That's God's judgment. Now, in verse 19, Paul says that the universal effect of Adam's disobedience was that all were made sinners. Very important. Let me read that to you again. Verse 19. "For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners." Now, in Paul's mind, the word sinners are those who are under the power of sin. He describes it this way in Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to 17. I'm going to read to you these four verses. And Paul's actually describing his own experience because he's a son of Adam and he also knows what it is to be under the power of sin. Listen to how he describes it. "For we know that the law is spiritual," that's the law of God, "but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin." When someone is sold into bondage, you can think of a slave. In the olden days, in Paul's day, there was still slavery. And so, a couple of years ago in our own era, we still had slavery going on. And people are sold into slavery and they lose and have no right over themselves, over their families. They are utterly given over to whoever, are their masters. Paul says, "This was my relationship to sin. I was sold into bondage to sin." Verse 15, "For what I'm doing, I don't understand, because I'm not practicing what I would like to do." In his mind, he's saying, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do what is right. And yet, I don't understand it because I'm not doing what I want to do, but I'm doing the very things I hate. "But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law of God, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me." You see, Paul is describing sin as a foreign power that has gained control of him. And again in verse 23, he says, "But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members." So back in chapter 5, verse 19, when Paul says that the many were made sinners, he's thinking of the fact that human nature came under the power of sin. Sinners now describes the nature of the whole human race, just as an apple tree describes the nature of a specific kind of tree. The apple tree bears apples because that is according to its nature. In the same way, we sin because we are sinners. Something fundamental changed in human nature when Adam transgressed. It's curious, isn't it, that you have to teach a child to do what is right, but you don't have to teach them how to do what is wrong. Doing wrong comes very, very naturally. It's very natural for children to be selfish and to lie and to bully and to manipulate. Nobody teaches children these skills. They're born with them. This was a spiritual consequence of Adam's transgression. Now allow me to make one more observation before I bring us to a close. I said that one of the consequences of Adam's transgression was psychological suffering. He experienced the pain of internal conflict. He felt the weight of a guilty conscience, and then shame, and then fear. And since we are all born sinners, we all suffer the same consequences. This is the reason why there is so much psychological suffering in the world. People are sick. Millions are on, you know, antidepressants like Zoloft and Prozac and other drugs to escape the pain. That people try to escape the pain of living with themselves. There's a lot of self-hatred and self-loathing because people know who they are. Deep down, you know what's going on in your thoughts, in your heart. You know what you've done in your past. That memory of your transgressions causes guilt and fear and shame. And so people try to hide from that. I should be quick to add as well that not only do people use antidepressants and different drugs and alcohol and work and so forth to try and hide from the pain they feel, a lot of people try to hide in religion and moralism. And they try and garb themselves with moral living to get away from the pain of a guilty conscience. You see, people don't have peace because we are sinners. We are suffering the consequences of our bondage to sin. And just like Paul, we must all cry out, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Who will give me peace? Who will quiet the conflict in me?" And Paul's answer in chapter 7, verse 25 is, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, people need forgiveness. That's the only way to still the storm inside. Back in Psalm 32, David in verse 5 says, "I acknowledged my sin to you. And my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." And then these wonderful words, "And you forgave the guilt of my sin." That's what we need. That's where that internal conflict can come to an end and there can be peace. In Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29, Jesus cries out and says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So while there is suffering as a consequence of Adam's sin, there is also peace through Jesus Christ for those who will look to him and call out to him. Now, until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.